This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Get you ready for this.
Say you ready for this.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried, but I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
We're going to do that show with the Spiegel guy.
No, his partner.
Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Miss your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See,
you were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Jalen Johnson, touchdown.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cuz.
Lawrence, I'm glad you got away from Bernstein. Honest to God, what a gift for you.
You can call me Dan or you can call me Bernsey, but you don't know me like that.
Get back, you don't know me like that.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything of Matt. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah,
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Shane, Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound, and then you guys come on and Shane books us, and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good.
I mean, goosebumps.
Hell?
Let's kick off this show with a bang.
Let's go.
It is a Friday. It's a baseball Friday here on The Score. The Cubs and the White Sox are scheduled to first pitch in about 20... No.
No, they're not. Back in delay. No scheduled first pitch time anymore as of about 5 seconds ago.
Oh, well, hey, I appreciate you guys keeping me updated and all those things. There's all sorts of logistical issues. There was some rain in the desert this morning, and they don't really have... It's like if you were in Atlanta during a snowstorm. It's not like there are snow plows and salt trucks and whatnot. That's what's happening out in Arizona these
days. It reminds me, Lawrence, there was a Super Bowl in Dallas. Remember, there was like a little bit of ice.
They had an ice storm, though.
Yeah, but there was also, they did have an ice storm, but they also had, like you're talking about, they had none of the machinery and the infrastructure that was needed to handle such things. Have you ever been, I mean, maybe you've seen it in Arizona. I remember once I was in Palm Springs.
A haboob?
It wasn't a haboob. It was a simple rainstorm. It rained for like 20 minutes, and there was rain in every intersection. It was like 6 to 8 inches of rain in every intersection. And like cars were freaking out, like old ladies just kind of stopping before intersections, terrified to drive through. It's just absolute chaos for hours after 20 minutes of rain.
It's a very strange thing because I do spend a lot of time out there in Phoenix proper and in the surrounding suburbs. And being someone who deals with all four seasons when I'm here, watching how they react to stuff is interesting, where I've had the instances where I've gone out for a walk and it's 60 degrees there and you see someone in a parka and you're like, oh yeah, I guess when you've been out here for a while, your blood thins a little bit and it does seem cold. Meanwhile, I was in shorts because that's when it gets to 50 degrees in Chicago, some would say 40. If it's sunny, you put the shorts on and you go outside.
Meanwhile, I didn't know we were getting snow today. Maybe I should check the weather more often, but I looked out the window. I'm like, what? What?
We're checking the Glendale, Arizona weather more than our own, I think. I know, I'm just speaking personally from experience.
Yes, it's true. It's true. And I looked out, and my dude who's in town, my friend who's in town, who's usually a Los Angeles person who loves the sun, is completely loving the snow right now. I told him to go out and make a snow angel, throw some snowballs at a city bus. Like, go ahead and lean in.
Do you want to make a snowman?
Right? This is a moment to embrace that and enjoy that. But yeah, a lot of weather on the mind, but we got a lot of sports to do as well.
We do, although now I'm like, wait, what? Like, what are we doing? It was a good thing we decided to stay. Like, we could have just bounced, but we didn't. Why don't we start things up since we don't know when, if this is a full show? But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Speaks.
We know so little. We know so little.
We don't know a lot.
It's a great reason to keep it locked in right here.
Yes.
You know so little.
And I've got like six guests on standby, so we just plug in whoever we want whenever we want to.
Shane, I know you were on it this morning. You're like, we kind of have to do two different shows, and we have to produce two different shows. But this is the one thing that we weren't ready for. Like, we were ready for, oh, we'll come in and then we'll hand it off. We were ready for, there's a full show that we need to do. We weren't ready for, there's no start time, and we're not sure what the start time is. And partially because there's no way that Jerry's going to let, you know, 8,000, 9,000 people who showed up to Camelback Ranch, you're going to let that audience go, right?
Right, like, but you might not have a choice, though, if they can't get the water off the field.
I think they're trying everything they can.
I think you, somewhere in your radio brain, and maybe not anymore, but there was a point where you had program director aspirations. There was a point in your career where you just wanted to run the whole damn place.
It was about 30 minutes ago, actually. I anointed myself.
You did?
Program director. Tanny was there. He saw it.
You did. It was a real coup, Speaks. You missed it.
Best exchange in the thread. I was just telling these guys back here today, or a little while ago, that when Ryan said, I need a beer, and Tanny's like, Ryan, this is nothing. Yeah, like, brother.
It's nothing.
I was in your job during COVID and two hacks from Russia.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those.
That's a bad comedy duo.
I don't recommend that show.
No.
I love that show.
They're not great.
I didn't want to out you for that thing from 30 minutes ago, so I was trying to be vague and be all clever.
Alexander Haig the whole damn thing, and I'll do it again.
So run the show. Let's see. So what do we got? So go ahead. Just fire away, man.
You're
the program director.
Why don't we start with Jonathan Allen?
Yeah, I really like him as a player. I really like Jonathan Allen as a player, and I know he tore the pec and missed 9 games last year, but he also came back. They thought maybe he was going to be out for the year, and he instead came back because he wanted to be part of everything that was going on there, and he played hard. He busted his ass last year in those last 3 games, and I think there's more there. I know the PFF grades have gone down over the last couple years, but this is a guy who's made the Pro Bowl twice, 30 years old, obviously a former number one pick, 17 overall. I find myself very intrigued. Like, if we're talking about Milton Williams, 25 years old, from the Eagles, who's probably about to, you know, set at least this offseason's market for defensive tackle, coming off a real good Super Bowl, or Jonathan Allen, who's a stud that you can probably get for a much more manageable number. I find myself intrigued by that, in addition to letting Jervon Dexter play and drafting one somewhere and doing everything you need. I like the idea of adding the OG Jonathan Allen to your defensive line mix.
Well, the good thing about where the Bears are at and the way that people are reacting to the Bears is that we've all kind of decided that we're in on the idea of them pushing for offensive line help. They also need defensive line help. And they've needed it from the defensive tackle spot from the time that Matt Eberflus was the coach. Like, when he got named coach, it's one of, I think, the ways that Poles failed Eberflus was not giving him what he needed to run the defense that he was running. So I like the idea of them continuing to be aggressive, and you got to start bringing in guys with real resumes. And you're right. That with Allen, there it wasn't a great 2024, but can't the same thing be said about Jackson on the offensive side? When you look at the production of Allen over the last few years, you see a productive defensive tackle and a guy that played most of the season. If you go back to 2020, actually his whole career other than his rookie year and last year, it's 16, 15, 16, 17, 16, 16. And then 8 last year. So that says to me that the guy's got some durability. And the matter is, how quickly does it fall off? Yeah. And you might be at that point. It's fair to wonder if you're at that point.
But it was a pec. It wasn't a leg. It wasn't something like that that could lead to other issues in the leg. And I know how important the pec is and how important the upper body strength is. But yeah, man, I it's just that from everything I've read, and we can do some more research on it, he checks all the makeup stuff and all the football character stuff. And the good news also is that you got a guy on your roster that you can ask. You can ask Montez. You can ask Montez Sweat very specifically and directly whether he wants to play next to Jonathan Allen or not anymore. And let me ask you this. Should they get Chase Young too? You go out and get Chase Young and Jonathan Allen and Montez Sweat and rebuild the Commanders defensive line from 3 years ago? Probably not.
I'm good on. Oh yeah, that's right. Well, we get that could be the new show. Ask Montez.
Yeah, you ask him what's going on. That's exactly right. But no, I'm kidding about Chase Young and getting all three of them together. But like. I got no problem. Like, if Montez is, hell yeah, Jonathan can play and is a good dude and a good teammate. You know, we'll see how many teams are out there fighting for him, because they were trying to find a trade partner and could not. They could not, because everybody's like, you're going to cut him. We'll just wait for you to cut him. And that's what they did.
This has been the offseason of 1,000 cuts. And it's exciting because there are players that you've seen play well in other places that are out there and available right now for the Bears to try and go and snatch, and they're in a good position to be able to do that, and that's what's exciting. This texter brings up a point I didn't even think about. This is on the list of things that we could talk about today, Tanny and Shane, that Speaks, you weren't here yesterday when our guy had a crisis of conscience. Big Ant Heron was called an OG by a young man in Atlanta, and it messed with him. Because he didn't think that he was old. So he was like, man, this guy called me an OG.
Yeah, held the door open for him, right? That's how it happened. Held the door for a younger guy, and he says, thanks, OG.
And he said, thanks, OG.
So it wasn't a cultural... when he said he had an issue being called an OG, I was like, is it wrong to call people gangsters now?
No, that's not it.
That's not it.
The old part is the part that he was upset about.
So does OG in that sense stand for old gangster instead of original gangster?
It stands for original gangster.
Original grandpa.
You better believe it.
So who called him that?
The young guy who he held the door for. Thanks, OG.
Oh, boy.
That's a major term of endearment. And unfortunately, that's right, salute, major term of endearment.
Major term.
And he needs to lean into that. This is the phase that he's now in.
Yeah.
Let the salt and pepper come through.
His won't, though. That's the problem.
Right, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that Ant is going to be able to rock this exact moment in his age process for like another, what, 10 years, 15, with no hair to let the salt and pepper happen, with the athletic build and the fact that he still works out, with the he seems to either live the truism of black don't crack, or has discovered lotion. That's what Bill Burr says, that it's not black don't crack, it's just that black people know lotion and discovered it like with much more fervor than others.
And he knows that because that's what's going on in his own house.
Yes. And so he discovered lotion, and he's like, he feels like he's aging well because of his devotion to the lotion. But either way, don't you think Ant could just lock right where he is right now for a good long while?
Yes. I think that Big Ant can look 45 till he's 65.
That's what I mean. And he's not 45, is he?
I think he just turned 43.
I think he said yesterday.
Wow.
I think he said 43.
Somewhere around.
Guys who are clearly very very older than I am. When did you guys give in to being old? Tanny?
How dare you?
I don't think it's fair for you to ask Tanny that, because he's not that old.
The way I see it, yeah, is if I have a
much
job.
Much older than me.
If I wear a hoodie and a baseball cap every day, I stay young. So that's
okay.
That's a good call.
So far, it's working.
When did you give in, Speaks?
I've scheduled my give-in for 2027, late 2027.
Got it.
I hadn't scheduled my old give-in. No, man, like, I'm out here. I'm playing music shows. I'm hanging around. I'm staying up
late.
With music
songs. With the music man.
Exactly right. Like, you
at
know.
The music box.
At the music box. Mostly, yeah.
As a matter of fact. But, like, yeah, no, I don't know. Well, see, it depends. I got the salt and pepper thing happening big time.
Yeah, but it's good, working for you, man. It's really, well, the hair looks amazing.
I appreciate it. And your beard looks good.
Thank you. You're
letting the salt and pepper in the beard.
Yeah.
So it's a good moment for us to check in on this.
So during COVID is when I decided to grow it out. And I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot more gray in there than I expected. And that was obviously 5 years ago. And now it's mostly gray, and it's really, really interesting. But the championship game last year is when I was like, oh, so everything's over. Everything's over now. because here's the thing. Shane's continuing like, you're going to play, right? And I'm like, no, my arm doesn't work anymore. Like, I gave everything I had in that last game, because Shane was like, can you play shortstop again?
Yeah, well, you just keep moving over a little bit left on the infield, and then you can play second base this year.
Honestly,
can play first if you want.
I honestly don't know if I can throw.
You can still hit.
Yep, Cubs.
That's true.
Also, Cubs game canceled, so we're here. We're just here.
All right. Yep. All right.
So I'll start putting our guests in there.
That was an interesting few things, and now we can just put everyone in. But yeah, I'm leaning into it. Like, I'm doing the shaving of the head thing now. And letting the old man beard grow out and all of that good stuff. Do we know when they'll replay this game, or will they not?
They probably won't.
Yeah, because the Cubs got to go to Japan.
If we ask them real nicely, would they play, guys?
The White Sox are going to make this game up in Japan also.
They're going to travel?
Yeah, they're going to do a doubleheader. First game against the White Sox,
they're
which won't
get,
count.
Get the gate. Well, it's a good thing that we put in ideas and stuff for the show today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll rock it. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Let's do a radio show.
Yeah, we can have a little bit of fun and then kind of do a meeting during a break and all that good stuff.
So game on. Back to the hair, though. This is important. I decided long ago that I was never going to dye the hair. I decided I wasn't going to do it just because it feels so false. It, like, you end up kind of inherently living the lie, and the lie can make you spiritually unwell. You know what I mean? So I guess you could just talk about it and own it, but then what's really the point? You know, you might as well just rock with what you got. And you know what is one of the transformative athletic realities of my life in this way, in terms of observing sports, Lawrence, is Andre Agassi. You remember when Andre Agassi was hanging on to the vestiges of his long hair.
Yes.
And holding on to this myth of his youth. And the long hair was stringy and bad, and his career was in the crapper. And there was a moment, and his book is amazing, by the way.
I haven't read it. I'll put that. I'll put that on the list.
One of the greatest sports books I have ever read, without a doubt. In terms of like, man, just laying it all out there and laying it all bare. And he realized he needed to be more honest with himself in every possible way, and getting rid of the long hair and just being bald. And
he looked so good.
He looked so good, and his game got rejuvenated. His entire athletic career got rejuvenated, and he had like a 5 to 7 year run of excellence and then relevance and then faded naturally, as opposed to trying to be what he was. It was inspiring, and I hold on to that. So let's just all be who we are, shall
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I think it's hard, though. Like, when you have those moments when you lose your youth and you go, oh, man, I used to be able to blank, blank, blank. I used to be able to throw the football a quarter mile over
Absolutely.
Those mountains over there. Like,
Absolutely.
All of those things, like, it's difficult. It's difficult, but I actually am leaning in. Like, I am totally okay with OG, with Unk, like, I'm loving the Unk phase that I'm in right now. And I think that Big Ant should too. But especially because he is going to look so young for a long time.
Mm.
But
yeah, he really is.
When you got the young guys out there showing you love and respect, you got to show it back to them. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Be like, sure. I appreciate you, nephew, and move on. That's how you do's it. In my world, yep. Anyway. Some updates to the schedule. Bruce Levine is going to join us at 3 o'clock. We'll talk to him about how things went so badly today for the two baseball teams, how we got there. Chris
That's
Emma
good.
Is going to join us at 4:25.
Excellent.
I think
Excellent.
We'll probably have Kyle Long and Winston Venable as well at some point.
Winston Venable. We've been talking about doing that for a while. The former Bear and the brother of the new White Sox manager, Will Venable. Very cool. But yeah, we talked to Bruce about both Cubs and Sox since he is there for both. So it'll be a good moment, a good opportunity to check in with Bruce.
Other things that are on our list of topics to talk about: baseball and its issues with their contract. Also, the NBA culture wars. There's a war of words last night on a sideline between two guys who've made over $100 million in their career. One of them is a journalist. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's a lot of money.
It is crazy that is a lot of money in the face of downsizing in other realms of that particular company and the industry.
Yeah, but you pile on to the people that make money, and they've kind of told you that Mike Greenberg, Pat McAfee, Stephen A. Smith. There yep. you go. That's what we're investing our money in, and they are seeing a return in that investment with those guys. So there's a lot for us to get into, including continued breakdown of what the Bears have done. So we're glad that you're with us, and you can kind of just say, all right, you can settle in now. You don't have to start planning on what you were going to do when Spiegel and Holmes got off the air for Cubs baseball. Because, damn it, there is no Cubs baseball today. We're your Cubs baseball.
Damn right we are. We can play it. We can play a damn good game and put it out there. You know, it's I was reconnecting with an old friend today, Lawrence, and we were talking about baseball because his brother, who has passed in the past a couple years, was a baseball lover. And he was asking me, like, you know, for recommendations on baseball podcasts and baseball books and stuff like that, because he wants to get more into baseball because his brother was into it and wants to kind of try and connect with his late brother. And I thought it was a beautiful ask. But I'm not exactly sure what realm of the game to send him, you know. But I ended up like kind of talking to him and waxing philosophical, as I'm known to do a little bit, about the game and the beauty of the game, to try and connect with him in that way. So it was a nice moment to do that. But
it's so hard, like, trying to figure out how to connect people to baseball. Because with baseball, I feel like the connection is so natural, and usually it happens very young, where whether you're playing or you're watching an older brother or sister play, that you're playing catch with your dad, like that sort of thing is usually the gateway drug into watching the best of the best do it. And it's now if there are students that I deal with or young people that we all deal with that don't already have a love for baseball, trying to get them to love baseball the way that we do is difficult.
Yeah, it's a really good point, because obviously the baseball as an industry and as a league is trying to like market itself and figure out ways, and it's a long-standing conversation, obviously, but that connection, that relationship with it is almost always generational, isn't it? It's almost always something that gets birthed at the beginning of your life, and there's very few people that kind of come to it along the way, or sort of pivot towards it. And I guess that does speak to some of the issues that the league is having, and they've got a lot of issues to try and sort out, man. They got a lot of troubles to figure it out, and the inequities that were always there are getting more awkward. When you have franchises that just refuse, because they don't have to act like even an average major league franchise. When you've got the Pittsburghs of the world that are loathed by 25 different organizations in the game. Like you can talk to people on both sides of this town and in 20 other markets who will say that the Pirates are the problem. You know, it's like you've got a lot of places that don't truly compete, and those inequities are more of a problem now than they ever have been.
You want to hear a beautiful thought about baseball?
Sure.
This is from our friend Jason Leisure. He just texted me and he said, "Unlike any sport, baseball is a language you grow up speaking."
Yeah, I think it's true.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it is, and it's a because sometimes it can be grasped. Let me ask you this, because I was trying to explain this to my friend, like, and it's the way that it's always felt for me. Like, there's so much failure, you know, like the best in the world hit 300. 3 out of 10, they're walking away feeling good. They're on base 4 out of 10 with an OBP, you know? There's so much failure. And no matter what happens in your at-bat, whether it's a great at-bat or a bad at-bat, your job is exactly the same over the next 20, 30 minutes, multiple times during the day, is to settle yourself, renew your focus, and take the exact same sensible, calm approach to your next at bat. Whether it went well, whether it went poorly, your job is the same. And that's life. That's the thing. It's like when you grasp that and you accept that, then the love for the game, it can kind of get pretty deep pretty damn fast, as it has for so many of us. And then you get the games for 7 months, and it's this companion sport where you're just being reminded of life. But maybe it's too much like life for people now. It's too much.
Arduous.
Right? Like, football and other sports are not as similar to life. Baseball is too much of a sports approximation of what it actually is. It's too close to the pacing and the demands of regular human life. And more people would rather have an escape and a feeling that, no, maybe it's a 2.5 hour war like football, or maybe it's a 2 hour run or skate fest, and then it's over and you can do it again in a couple of days. Like, having something that's too close to life is not as appealing as perhaps it once was as a sport.
It the feeling of it, though, like, I think back to being a little kid in all of those flashpoint memories of the game itself, and wanting to be a part of it, like that connection of it. And yeah, my story is a little different than some people, like having a grandfather that played in the Negro Leagues, and like so that there's always been that connection for me to the game. But my dad didn't really play, but he still thought it was important to connect me to the game. So I can remember, like, one of my first actual memories is getting my first glove when I'm 4 years old, and you're out there playing with a tennis ball, you know, because you're a little kid and maybe you shouldn't be trying to catch a league ball yet. And trying to connect other people to that, it's difficult. But I have noticed when you bring people to baseball games, if there is the open environment, and Spees, I think you're really good at this, like just in your regular life. But I know when it comes to baseball, the idea of having someone there who's open to your questions, and then those people asking what to us are how we've lived our lives in baseball, but then people being like, well, wait, why is it three strikes? Why is it four ball? Like, and then you start going, oh, yeah, like let's break this thing down to the rudimentary part of it and find out why we love this game the way that we do. It's such a, I don't know, man. I still would rather cover football. Like, it's still, as a reporter, because of the demands of that job, like, I always enjoy covering football more. And I guess I'm kind of seen more as a football guy, but I'm always so, I'm dumbstruck by how good the guys are and how smart you really have to be good at this game. It's so fun to me. Like, there's been a lot of stuff that Barry Bonds has been saying. He's been on the podcast with the Up in Smoke podcast, and he's been talking about hitting, and it's so gratifying.
Well, let me tell you, Lawrence, you as a sports fan, as a sports media person, is an interesting thing for us to talk about as a template, because I know that you love football, and maybe some people think you're a football guy, but you also love baseball. What you love, though, is information and analysis, history and context. You're curious. Like, and baseball is an information sport more than I think any other. There's so much history and so much intellectual, you know, stuff that you got to bring in to really appreciate it. And that's super fun for a lot of people. It's really tedious for others.
Yes.
And to your point about, like, when people are asking questions, imagine, like, you know, when it feels tedious, it's so easy to go to then feeling less than. And if you ask a question and somebody's arrogant and like a gatekeeper, or even just a little condescending,
which is one of the problems with baseball,
100%, or just a little naturally frustrated because, like, oh my god, you need me to explain this to you, and then you might bond with some other old baseball people and say, can you believe these people? They don't know stuff. It's just so counterproductive because you're making somebody feel like they can't ask a question or can't get involved. So, because what you're selling, what you're offering people with baseball is an awakening of an intellectual variety. You know what I mean? Like, it's not simply visceral. There's plenty of visceral, but a love of baseball has to be based on intellectual appreciation and educational awareness. And if you don't want that, you're unlikely to have a relationship with it that's as deep as it could be.
Whenever I think about playing the game, and I did a whole pod about this, and you've seen me do it, there'll be times when I'm in the studio and I'm counting steps to a backhand, even though I'm never playing hardball ever again. I'm counting steps on when the ball is going to be in my glove and how I would turn and throw or jeter it if I'm playing shortstop. No one's going to ask me to play hardball shortstop at 49, but that stuff is still in there. And I know that that happens with everyone, guys with golf swings. It happens with people with their jumper, like that sort of thing. I always loved, it's a weird thing to say, and I imagine that there are other baseball people that feel similarly. I always enjoyed infield practice almost as much as games. I enjoy, like, the drilling of stuff and working on stuff and with your teammates figuring out who's good at what. And when it comes to football, like, the demands of a football practice are so terrible that guys do remember, like, that time and that bonding, because it's such a great bonding sport. You're reliant on your teammates. But I don't know anyone who's a football person is like, man, I really love practice. I know a ton of baseball people that are like, God, I loved infield. God, I love working like a Tom Emanski robot out there trying to make it so that it's perfect.
It's true as a practitioner, and I was never really a practitioner. You know, I certainly played a little, you know, in Little League and stuff like that, and had a moment. At a moment where I was throwing sidearm and I thought I had figured it out and I was going to be like a Dan Quisenberry, Kent Tekulve submariner who was going to, I was like, oh my God, look at when I'm throwing it. It has this natural thing where it tails to the right. Can I make it tail to the left? And I wasn't really throwing a breaker, snapping my wrist or anything. But I had like 15 minutes, probably age 13, 15 minutes where I was like, I think I'm going to be a big leaguer. And that's all it was. And then it fades away and you're like, all right, cool. Let me just love on this thing and see if I can find a way to work within it somehow, some way.
It's so funny that you mentioned Kent Tekulve, because I saw a reel of him today, and I don't think I knew this. Was his entrance music the Rubber Band Man? Like, oh, someone said, because awesome. Like that's
by the Spinners. That's like, freaking great.
That's amazing. Like,
that's so dope.
It's perfect for him too.
Who are the pitchers? The twin, is it Tyler Rogers? And there's two twins that are in the big leagues right now. One of them was on the Giants. I think one was a Marlin. Is it Tyler Rogers and Travis Rogers? I may not have the second name right, but there's two pitchers, and one of them has the submarine floating curveball that Tekulve had. Taylor and Tyler. Thank you, Shane. Because there was an article a few years ago about Kent Tekulve. Lawrence, you'll love this. Kent Tekulve sitting on his couch with a drink in his hand watching a baseball game. And he sees Taylor Rogers throw, and Tekulve sits up. You know that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio sitting up on the couch and pointing at the TV?
Yep.
Tekulve did it and said, that's my pitch. That's it. There it is. Like, he saw the one dude that he's ever seen in his whole life who throws the pitch that he threw and had a badass big league career with. He's like, that's my pitch. That's exactly it. And it is. It's like exactly the arm slot is the same, the break is the same, and the action is the same as Kent Tekulve's pitch.
Now I'm sad that we have to break. We haven't even talked about baseball as a great guide of American history. I guess we'll save that for Hit and Run one Sunday afternoon. Or, you know, this radio show that we do together, we can do what we want.
Sure can.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bruce Levine is going to join us. We will get an update on the Cubs and the White Sox from the desert. That game has been canceled. We are here with you. Spiegel and Holmes until 6 on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.